Welcome to Bible Mysteries. What if there are secrets in the Bible the world doesn't want you to know? You're listening to episode 183, The Younger Dryas, Water. Now here are your hosts, Scott and John.
Hello and welcome to Bible Mysteries Podcast. I'm Scott Mitchell.
I'm John Potts, and this is the show that talks about things in the Bible that the world doesn't want you to know.
And we're going to dive in again today with part two, John, of our series on the Younger Dryas.
I like it. I've been waiting to get back into this. It's interesting.
And we're going to discuss the water in more detail today, the water of Genesis 1, verse 2.
Okay.
But before we dive into that, did you get a chance to see the eclipse?
I did. It was wild.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was really cool.
Well, where I was so cloudy, we couldn't see a thing. We saw the whole light get darker, but we didn't get to see the actual event itself. It would have been cool, but I'm glad you did. So did Karen Wilkinson. She texted.
Well, and Karen lives a quarter mile from me.
So yeah.
It was a really amazing because it was so overcast and so cloudy that you would look at the sun with those glasses on and you'd see the moon creeping in, but the clouds blowing by look like smoke. I mean, it was just this wild looking vision, or, you know, what you're seeing in your vision. And then all of a sudden, literally 5 minutes before the total eclipse happened, the clouds just like, boom, opened up. And it was like, oh, this is... You know, like Karen said, she goes, that was God opening up the clouds.
It did seem like a little.
And we sat there looking at that thing. And I didn't realize, because the last eclipse that we had was in October, you had to wear glasses to look at it, right? Because it was like that ring of fire. It wasn't a total eclipse. But this one, once you went to total eclipse, you couldn't see it unless you took your glasses off. So then you're sitting there with just your bare eyes looking at this thing, and it was absolutely amazing. I mean, it was like nighttime, and then you have this one like ring of light up there. And then when the sun broke outside of the edge of the moon, when it moved across, it was like somebody turned on a flashlight.
Wow.
And everything around you suddenly, it wasn't like a sunrise where you get this glow coming up. This was like, boom, the lights came back on. And everybody around us was just like, oh, wow. That, I mean, it was an amazing experience, man.
Well, hopefully that display of God's magnificence was something that people that watched it would go,
yeah.
Maybe there's a creator, you know.
Have you seen all the stuff online that people have filmed it and they've seen things flying by the eclipse?
No.
Oh, it's all over social media. I mean, there's people, one event in Arlington, Texas, right, shows the eclipse and all these people, it sounds like there's 20 people at this gathering. You just see something fly across the eclipse and it moves really quick, so you can't tell what it is, but it looks like a long, elongated, cylindrical shape, shoo, right across.
I wonder if that's one of those mile-long spacecrafts that Al Matthews has been telling us about, and L.A.
Something flew across. And then there's a lot of other things where people are showing the eclipse. Now, of course, social media, right? You got to take it with a grain of salt,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely,
but there's other things where people are showing the eclipse, and then they pan over with their camera, and they're like, okay, this is the eclipse. But why is the moon over here, right? Like, what is that all about? There's a lot of wild stuff out there. Now, how much of it is fabricated? I don't know, right?
Yeah, you can't trust a lot of that. But it is fascinating.
Yeah.
And what struck me is I haven't seen those videos you're talking about, but I remember leading up to the day of the eclipse, there was a good bit of videos being put out there about it, this meaning, and all the cities named Nineveh and all the cities named
Salem. They're crossing over in some city and all that. Yeah.
And, you know, and they're trying to put that as a sign of something to come in the scriptures. And like, folks, listen, focus. And I'm not saying that maybe NASA or CERN or whoever doesn't have something sinister going on during that eclipse. They probably did.
Well, they fired up CERN the day
of. Fired up CERN the day of, and NASA launched 3 rockets or something towards
for
the moon.
For no reason.
We don't know. Yeah, exactly.
We don't know why they did. I know they had a reason.
But was that guy? So I don't consider a normal astronomical event to be a sign. Mm-hmm. You know, when God says the moon would turn to blood and the sun will be darkened, he's not joking around. And yeah. coming up in an episode not far from now, we're going to talk about the grand solar minimum and discuss what implications that may have in Scripture.
Hmm. Okay.
But today we're going to continue with the Younger Dryas.
Okay.
And we're going to discuss more about the water and events concerning that. And before we do that, John, I think it'd be a good time to go ahead and welcome our latest seekers.
Let's do it. Let's talk about the folks that are supporting the show, that are what we call seekers. And we want to say thank you to the following: Mary Ann Saluri, Powell Lebiota, Alicia Melendez, Lydia Roop, Matthew Allen, and Aaron Wolf. Amen. I'd like to say especially thanks to Matthew Allen and Aaron Wolf, because those first four names were pretty hard for me to pronounce. And when I got to Matthew Allen, I was like, woo, finally a good name.
Well, I'm impressed how you handled them, because I was looking at those going, oh, man, I'm glad I don't have to
I'm
say those.
I'm terrible at that. I don't. Maybe we need to get somebody else in here to read names.
Well, and the truth of the matter is, it's a 50-50 shot, you know. But I think you did pretty good. So all of you, again, if we mispronounce your name, we apologize. But we are grateful to you for subscribing. They all subscribed in November of last year. And so thank you. And as we are starting to do now, let me show you what your support of this ministry is doing in some short testimonials, John, if you don't mind reading.
So here's the first one. It comes from to us from Bingabit. All right, I'm butchering this one. Bingabadard.
I'm gonna take a stab at it. Bingabard. And you know, it's a Spotify comment, so it could be it's like a handle or a made up name or something like that. Well, it could be Bingabibard. You know.
Well, either way, Bingabard, he says or she says, thank you all for your dedication in exposing the global agenda and revealing the forgotten reality of God's kingdom. That's an awesome statement.
That's a great statement. Yes. The forgotten reality of God's kingdom. Thank you, Bingabard. I love it when you see something and you go, they get it.
Yeah.
They get it, yeah.
The global agenda.
Oh, yeah. And the forgotten reality of God's kingdom. That's mm-hmm. The world has amnesia. By the way, that's something that I think Graham Hancock says a lot. You know, he's an atheist, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not trying to go lift him up in any way, shape, or form, but he talks about the world having amnesia of the past.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we don't remember what happened. And the Bible remembers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the global agenda that he's mentioning right there, because they are setting us up for one world financial system.
Oh, yeah.
One world religious system and one world government, right? So they can usher in their leader.
Pay no attention to those ancient texts. Yeah. We rewrite history.
But that's by erasing history, that's part of the indoctrination of children through our government-run school systems. Amen. Make history go away so that we can teach you what you need to know about the future.
Right.
Ugh. Anyways, that's the global agenda.
It is the global agenda. So, well, there's one more testimony. Why don't you read that one?
Yeah, so this one comes to us from DL Flory 2016. And he or she says, I listen to these over and over. Can't wait for the next one. The Bible should never become boring. Amen to that. There is so much skipped over and hidden to the everyday eye. But Brother Scott brings the mysteries to life. The part where he says the Bible should never become boring, I completely associate with that, because I gave how I had fallen into, I don't even know spiritual rut, where I was just... Mm. I just wasn't getting what I wanted out of the Bible because it had not been revealed to me yet what I needed to see. And really, it was when I started asking a lot of questions, and it was things I wouldn't learn about in church, right? Mm-hmm. I think that happens to a lot of people. My wife suggested this podcast. All of a sudden, I found out about the Nephilim, and I started hearing about spiritual warfare. Once you know those things, the whole Bible takes on a whole different meaning.
It really does. Everything about it hinges upon what happened in the ancient past mm-hmm. and how we are the focus of God's attention in a gigantic galactic spiritual war.
Yeah.
You know? And by the way, I will say this. I recognize the call name of this comment, and it's both he and she. It's my good friends Dale and Dawn. So I know them. And I don't know if this is Dale or Dawn writing the comment, but thank you, both of you, because they're dear brother and sister in Christ and friend of mine.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing your testimonials, folks. We'll go ahead and dive in again to the Younger Dryas. Remember, we're talking about a cooling period that happened approximately 12,900 years ago, mm-hmm. according to geologists or whatever, that resulted in widespread flooding. And I am contending that there's evidence this did happen in the Bible, that it may have been the flood of Genesis 1, verse 2. If it wasn't, and it was a different event, that's fine with me. Mm-hmm. But I think it matches what could have happened there. And so today we're going to focus more on the water and the flood that happened, because we already saw that there's water in Genesis 1, verse 2.
Yeah.
And we know that it's in connection to God's wrath. And we also discussed that the letter A in Hebrew, the Aleph, mm-hmm. is not in the word heaven, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're about to see the creation of heaven, and what does water have to do with it?
Okay.
So A is the God letter, Aleph. It's in every other word in Genesis 1, verse 1. Seven letters, and then only one. And we learned that the heaven's not clean in his sight. Mm-hmm. So we're going to dive a little deeper into why that is and why that's connected to the water. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, yom, or mayom,
okay.
in Hebrew, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and he did not pronounce it good. Let me read a little further.
Hmm.
And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Remember, the earth is already there in Genesis 1, verse 2.
Yeah.
And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, yom. And God saw that it was good.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say the second day was good. This next phrase is on the third day.
So let me stop you real quick. So at this point in history, right, God's mm-hmm. creation, you have the earth. It's basically a giant ball of water, if you were looking at it from
sure.
space, right?
A muddy ball.
And then he said, it says that, and where is it? It says the... let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and the dry land appear. So at some point, God made the earth or the ground come up, right?
Yeah.
And it was one giant continent. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, it may have been one giant continent. There's evidence in the Bible that says in the days of a man named Peleg, the earth was divided.
That's so, where the continents broke up, or that's where it broke well up and became the continent. The continents that we know now.
I agree.
Because you can look at them and see how they came apart and go back together like yeah. puzzle pieces.
And probably occurred after the confusion of languages at the Tower
yeah.
of Babel.
Yeah.
But that's a good point.
Huh.
And so, John, the firmament that's created there, he said back in verses 6 and 7, he called it heaven.
Okay.
So that's Shemayim. You know,
mm-hmm.
And incidentally, did you know in Hebrew, as I pronounce that, Shemayim, you see the word water even in the word heaven, you know, and even the word sea is in the word heaven, but the letter for God is not in the word heaven. So there's something about that.
So now, would that refer to those where that firmament is the heaven, but that's not the heaven where God dwells, the third heaven, that's the...
Well, we're going to get to that.
Second? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah.
All right.
So what we need to do is we have to ask ourselves, what is the water above heaven?
Mm-hmm.
If he named the water below heaven and he says it's the seas.
Yeah.
And the dry land appears, so you can see them adjacent to the sea,
mm-hmm.
right? The dry land. So water above the heaven, a young earth creationist would argue, oh, it's the cloud vapor.
Okay.
It's just the clouds. There's not enough water in the clouds to submerge the earth.
Okay.
Even if it all rained and fell down at once, it wouldn't raise the sea level significantly at all. Okay. Even if all the, and by the way, for you global warming.
I was about to say, don't tell that to the global warming people.
Weenies. If all the snow melted in the ice caps, it wouldn't raise the sea level mm-hmm. significantly, because God designed this planet to be in equilibrium. And see, when you take God out of your thinking, you always end up with a distorted sense of reality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. But back to this point, many would argue that the water is contained in the cloud vapor, but I would argue it is a vast amount of water beyond something that what even an ocean could contain. And it's a vast amount of deep separating God's throne in the third heaven from the second heaven and earth. And hence, the idea that we, and see in some places the word heavens, Mm-hmm. And then we see the word heaven in Genesis 1, verse 1. And some would argue, and the when you look at the ending of a word in Hebrew, like cherubim, shemayim, Elohim, all of that is plural. Well, God's not plural. It's not in the beginning the gods created the heaven and the earth. And remember I talked about that Alpha and Omega word, the Hebrew et, Aleph, and Tav, which is not any gods, that God.
But wouldn't God be plural in the form of the Trinity?
Exactly. So my point being, if that is true and it's foreshadowed in his name,
yeah,
right, et Elohim, then Shemayim, heaven, you'd think, oh, shouldn't that be plural? Because it is translated plural in other verses. Mm-hmm. But wait, there was only one heaven at the time, but contained within it is a Trinity, the first, second, and third heaven, that God would have to separate out later because of the sin. He knew what happened when the angelic rebellion would take place.
Wow.
Because nobody wants to argue that God there in Elohim in Genesis 1 should be plural. No Hebrew author, nobody would argue that that should be plural. So why would you argue it's heavens plural? And even in the Tanakh, it's singular, by the way.
The God, you're saying the God that's in our God, right, who in Genesis 1 was not plural?
No, the word Elohim is plural.
Is plural. Because doesn't it say after they ate of the fruit that they...
You shall be as gods.
Be like us, right? Isn't I don't know.
No, you shall be as gods, Elohim.
Yeah.
In Hebrew. So it can be plural.
Okay.
But my point being, the word may be plural, but the context bears out whether or not it's singular. And the word et, the God word, the undefinable word, Aleph Tav, is Alpha and Omega, points to, it defines, it modifies Elohim, not just any God, not a plurality of gods, the God, the God of creation. So Shemayim in the context is connected to his creative act. It's still singular, should be the heaven correctly in a King James Bible, where modern Bibles always want to put a heavens. Like the translators miss that. Oh, we got it right in every other verse, but the first verse of the Bible. You know, how ridiculous. So they knew what they were doing because they saw that God was trying to tell us something in the very word itself, that the heavens would be plural after God renovates from pouring his wrath out. And there's a third heaven because everything below the third heaven is tainted with sin. The heavens are not pure in his sight.
Yeah.
Second heaven and first heaven. And as you read that whole chapter, Genesis chapter 1, you find out that there's an open firmament of heaven where the birds fly. That's the sky.
Okay.
The first heaven. There's a second heaven where the sun, moon, and stars are, and the spiritual realm.
Which is unclean.
Unclean.
Because that's where they dwell.
And notice we can't go there without a rocket and oxygen and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want to get into conspiracy theories about we never did. You know.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that. But I know that we can't survive in space.
Yeah.
Because it's not our realm. Mm-hmm. God limited that. For us, you know, we can go as high as the birds, but that's it. Now, we go any higher, we need to bring our oxygen with us and rockets and what have you. To me, there's a danger there because, yes, you could say it's just outer space, but it's more than that. It's the astral realm. It's the unpure heavens where the angels of folly exist.
Hmm. Which brings into the conversation UFOs and extraterrestrials and all that.
Yeah. And they're not coming from other planets either. They're coming from that realm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whether it's just through a portal or they're in the earth or they're on the moon base or I don't care, Mars, I don't care. But they're not coming from distant galaxies.
Yeah. They're coming from outer space.
They're coming from the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Which is outer space, but I don't think it's limited to that because a portal could be opened up in this room. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not saying we're about to see a portal open up.
No.
But a portal could, you know, literally if you think about the sons of God coming down to the daughters of men in Genesis 6, how did they do that? You know, did they land in spacecraft? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But they came through portals. I can assure you that.
You know? Yeah, but to me, a portal is just an advanced technology that they use for, it's like getting on a bullet train, right?
Yeah.
I need to go across the United States. Well, it'd be nice if we had bullet trains, but we don't. But say in Europe, right, you're shooting across a bullet train. That's what a portal is to them. They could probably travel in their craft that they have from wherever they are all the way to Earth, but it's going to take I don't know, whatever, months, right? But if you get in a portal, here you are.
And that's assuming the portal is what we would identify science fiction-wise as like a wormhole or something. What is it, an Einstein – I forget, Einstein something bridge. There's another scientist whose name is supposed to be a part of that. I can't remember. But again, what even Einstein thought he knew about the spiritual realm, we're not even close, because God's not going to reveal that.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want us there. Yeah, I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
This is your domain. I gave you dominion of the earth.
Yeah.
Okay. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because now I brought up a term, the third heaven.
Okay.
And somebody's going, well, how do you know there's three heavens? Well, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, Paul, the apostle, writes, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven.
Is he saying he was caught up to the third heaven? So that's a definite, but he doesn't know if he was taken up in his body or in the spirit? Is that what he's saying?
Yes, I can't tell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I believe what he experienced was the rapture. The word caught up there is harpazo, the same as rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4. Well, caught up is the same word.
Yeah.
But he repeats it. I knew a man, such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So paradise is the third heaven. And Paul was caught up to there, probably in a picture of the rapture. He may have gone through time and experienced the rapture, for all we know. And then God brought him back.
Yeah.
Because God's not limited by time.
Yeah.
In the same way he brought John up to heaven to write the Revelation, you know. But whatever it was, it proves there's a third heaven. And if it's paradise, it's where the throne of God is. So we can now solidify a fact. There's a third heaven, which by extension implies a second and a first.
Sure.
Stories in heaven. By the way, you know how many stories there were in Noah's Ark?
I don't.
Three.
Okay.
Three.
Three, you know, just keeps coming around.
Oh, tell me about it. Three's
enough? There's a Trinity.
Oh, absolutely.
There's three heavens.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, so then, this episode about the Younger Dryas is the subtitle Water. And here we are talking about heaven and stories, but what about the water? Well, okay, so there's a third heaven. We know that. There was water in Genesis 1, verse 6, 7, 8, that is above the heaven.
Hi, if you're enjoying this podcast, please consider being a full-time subscriber. We are going to use these funds to expand the message and get the word out about what's in the Bible that the world doesn't want you to know about.
That's right, John. We appreciate you listening, but we'd love it if you'd subscribe. That way we can reach more people with the time we have left. So enjoy the rest of the podcast, but think about subscribing if the Lord puts it on your heart.
To subscribe, just go to BibleMysteries.supercast.com.
Thanks. All right. It's clouds. It's cloud vapor. No. What if it's something vastly different than that?
Okay.
All right. So look at Job 38, verse 29. Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven. Hoary is like a gray-haired man, like white.
Okay.
Yeah, think Santa Claus, white beard, you know.
Okay.
The hoary frost of heaven, who hath gendered it, who hath given birth to it. The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Now, if I stopped right there, John, I could say, yeah, he's talking about snow.
Mm-hmm.
The waters are hid as with a stone, the face of the deep is frozen. Well, I wouldn't call the snow the deep or the face of the deep and hidden. Except for Texas, you see snow anywhere in the northern latitude.
Yeah.
You don't see it here very often, once in a blue moon. But look at the next verse. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Do you recognize Pleiades and Orion?
Orion for sure. Pleiades, no.
They're constellations.
Yeah.
Stars, clusters, okay. Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in a season? That's basically the Hebrew version of the zodiac.
Okay.
Okay. Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his suns? A star. Arcturus. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? These are stars in heaven. Canst thou set the domain thereof in the earth? All right. Then in the context, this frozen deep, frozen water is in connection to heaven. I would argue is the second heaven.
Okay.
And I would also suggest that Job is referring to hidden waters frozen like a stone above the second heaven. There is an ocean of frozen water separating the third and the second heaven. The crystal sea.
Okay.
That's the source of the waters of Noah's flood, as we'll see in a moment.
Okay.
It would have been the source of the flood in Genesis 1, 2 at the Younger Dryas, if that timing matches. Genesis 7, talking about Noah. Verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, notice God knows the day, same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And everybody knows the story about 40 days and 40 nights and Noah's flood. Now, while it's certainly possible and very likely that vast amounts of water, oceans of water, are under the earth, and that could be the fountains of the great deep broken up, but these would not be above the firmament. They would be below the firmament.
Yeah.
But God said in Genesis 7, the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. They're connected together. So while underground oceans exist in the planet, these waters in the great deep are tied to the windows of heaven. They're above. This water came down in the form of rain.
Yeah.
You know, not just from the clouds. Like I told you, there's not enough water in the clouds of the earth right now to flood the earth 15 cubits above Mount Everest.
Yeah, no way.
No way. So where did this water come from? Well, the Great Deep then is a gigantic galactic frozen ocean.
The Great Deep on Earth?
The Great Deep is the water above the heavens.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to get our thinking to stop thinking locally and to start thinking in the spiritual realm.
Do you think after, so if all this water came down from heaven, right, which is what you're talking about right here, and flooded the earth, that it didn't, so there essentially is a water cycle between heaven and earth. Did all of that then, because the waters receded, right? Mm-hmm. So then it evaporated back up to heaven?
Either that or God had a place for the waters to go in the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, he, at thy voice, the waters, you rebuked them, and they fled to their place where you have them set in the bars, and they cannot go any further. I'm butchering Job, but you get the idea. I would argue that this water is, it could well have gone back to heaven, and God could suck it back up into the heavens if he wants to. But he could have just kept it contained within the earth if he wants to, and it wasn't there before.
So that would just... That would mean it's some kind of giant cave system or something.
Yeah. Well, and another thing we need to do is have our friend Gary Miller, I think it's Gary P. Miller, back. Yeah, Gary Paul Miller. We interviewed him once before, and he wrote a book about eternity. He's got a book about hell, God's prison. And when he goes through the verses of how when a person who dies without Christ and they end up going to hell— they first are sucked down into the mire through an ocean of water. And then they as they go down, they see the gates of hell open as they approach it.
Ugh.
It's horrifying.
That sounds horrible.
It is horrifying. And you, Jesus Christ experienced that, and the Psalms writes about it. Mm-hmm. And he tells us all about that. We got to have Gary back. We'll get him back.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah.
And every time we do an episode, we think about three other episodes. Earlier you were talking about the number three. And then you brought up 40 days and 40 nights. And I immediately sat here and I thought, but I didn't want to interrupt your topic, but I am now. I was like, we need to do an episode just on numbers. Maybe you've done it already, but there's threes, there's 40 years in the wilderness, 40.
Seven.
Seven's another number. I mean, there's all these numbers in the Bible.
Let me do this for you.
A theme.
I'm chasing a rabbit, I know, but you open that door. Okay. So I'm going to blame you. You know what the menorah is, that candlestick, seven.
Yeah.
There's one in the middle and three on each side. So take, there's seven words in Genesis 1, verse 1, okay?
Okay.
And it's that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And I'll do it again for the sake of the people that want to understand why I keep going back to the Hebrew. Bereshit, in the beginning, bara, created, Elohim, God, et, that God, Shemayim, heaven, vet, and... And Hades, the earth. And if you put those seven words as the little flame of each of the seven candles, the Aleph Tav word et, the God word, the Alpha and Omega is right in the middle of the menorah candle. Now, that's just cool to me. That's just a visual image of God's perfection and what have you. And seven mm-hmm. is the number of completion. Which, by the way, yeah. if seven is the number of completion, then creation was completed in Genesis 1, verse 1.
Yeah.
It's not, and here's how he did it in verse 2. Numerically, that does not add up. It will not work.
Hmm.
For young earth creationists, with all due respect, we need to get back to the Hebrew language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
interesting.
You opened a great door, and I couldn't help but insert that in there.
Well, now people are going to be writing in saying, when are you guys going to do an episode on numbers?
Right. Hey, by the way, somebody wrote me and reminded me to do an episode about tribulation salvation, because that was another one you suggested we do a few weeks back. How do people get saved during the tribulation? And I think I'm probably going to do that on my Unlock the Bible Now. That's one of those topics that's deep enough to where I feel like that should be. Not that it's wrong to be podcast material, but we do sort of these sensational type mystery things.
Uh-huh,
and that one's more of a doctrinal, deeper teaching thing. Fast forward to Revelation chapter 4. John is caught up to heaven like Paul was when we just read about him going to the third heaven. We are going to assume, for the sake of argument, it's the same third heaven.
Okay.
And it was. But he gives a description further that John said, I saw unspeakable things that were not lawful for a man to utter, you know, or heard unspeakable things, rather. John was given permission to utter them. Okay. So he writes them down. Revelation 4, verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And this one sitting on the throne is Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
Et Elohim, God, the God of creation. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. There's a topic right there.
Yeah.
And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Lightning and thunder is associated with water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's even clouds in God's throne room. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. I did that thing about the menorah because I knew we were going to talk about this.
Okay.
Which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So essentially, the sea of glass, when does water look like glass?
Well, it's frozen.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like crystal.
There's so much packed into this segment of what you just read. It's like a sci-fi. It's beyond sci-fi.
It is.
There's so much here.
It is.
A sea of glass. The actual way that he describes how God looks. Look upon like jasper and sardine stone. I mean, the spirits of God. What are the seven spirits of God? There's so much to unpack here. And then there's four beasts with eyes in the front and the back. There's just a lot going on in this whole thing.
You're right. So much to unpack. But I want to focus on that crystal sea.
Yeah.
It's water.
Mm-hmm.
Likely frozen. And it's the face of the deep that makes the crystal sea. By the way, jumping ahead to a much later time, at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, God creates a new heaven and a new earth. You know what it says in that verse? And there was no more sea, S-E-A.
Okay.
Does that mean there's going to be no oceans on the earth?
No more sea.
No more frozen deep, separating God's third heaven from the rest of his creation.
Wow.
He's going to remove that sea because he doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
At that point, all the enemies, all adversaries are gone in the lake of fire.
So would that also mean that we potentially have the ability to travel between heaven and earth?
Well,
because there's no more blockade?
If you think about it, in the beginning, God created the heaven, singular, and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation, the last book, there's a new heaven and a new earth, singular.
Yeah.
Heaven both times. It was always intended that the heaven and the earth were connected together. It's all God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The rebellion caused the wrath to be poured out in the darkness and the without form and void. The younger dryas, if it happened then, a flood.
Okay.
All right. In the end, it returns, it cycles back to the way it was from the very beginning.
Hmm.
And essentially, you will have had three renovations of the earth. The first one, Genesis 1, verse 2. The second one, flood of Noah. And the third one, the new heaven and the new earth.
That's mind-blowing to think about.
Back to three. Back to numbers.
So if there's no sea on the earth anymore, I mean, that's like 70% of the surface of the earth, right?
No, I'm not saying there's no sea on the earth.
Oh, you're not?
Yeah,
you're missing. Saying there's no glass sea that separates heaven and earth?
Yeah, don't miss that, because I want to be able to go surfing, you know, on the new...
No, I was sitting here thinking, well, imagine all the oceans are gone, how much new stuff there is to discover, right?
Yeah. But, and of course, this new earth may have a vastly different topography, you know, like more land than water. We're 75% water now.
So when you reference a sea of glass, you say that, or you're saying that it's frozen. But what if it's... Is there a possibility that it's just so beautiful and so clear that it looks like glass, and then maybe there's nothing what causes the sea to have waves, but we understand is gravitational pull from the moon, right? Pulling things up, and wind and things like that.
Right.
But if there's none of that in heaven, maybe there's a sea. Maybe it's not frozen. I'm not debunking
but
what
remember,
you're saying.
We read a verse in Job that said the face of the deep is frozen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So we didn't just pull that out of a hat.
Yeah.
You know, we base that upon a passage that says the face of the deep
that
is
makes
frozen.
Sense.
And all of the oceans aren't frozen. And you can maybe say that of the Arctic Sea or something, but so it's got to be that deep.
Wow.
Which is all pointing to this vast amount of water being above the second heaven, above outer space, separating God's throne. And it may transcend. It may even be where it separates the spiritual realm from the physical universe as we understand, as what we can see. And what we've got to change our thinking to be is like, you know, if you dive under the ocean, there's a whole other world there.
Yeah.
And that's a realm that's vastly different from our realm here. We can't breathe. Like I was talking about space, you know. We have to bring our oxygen with us. And the animals are completely different and they operate different, right? So it's like it's the same thing in 2 Kings 6 when Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And he saw the chariots of God and the armies of the angels. They were there the whole time. He just couldn't see them. Like you suck your head under the waves with a goggles on and a snorkel, and now you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, speaking of water, let's look at some types in the Bible. So in Exodus 12, verse 12, God said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. As of the release of this podcast, the Jews will have just celebrated Passover this year.
Okay.
Which is a later month this year, but remember, Ryan Peterson, our brother, reminds us that during Passover, God judged the gods of Egypt. That's what he said. I will judge the gods of Egypt. And so who are the gods of Egypt? Well, they're the fallen angels.
Yeah.
In that judgment, that particular thing with the Passover was the death angel, but all the plagues were involved in the judgment of God against the gods of Egypt. And they're sort of repeated in the book of Revelation, which is why Moses is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they pour all manner of plagues, the two witnesses in Revelation 11. Well, if we kind of focus a little bit just on the children of Israel being delivered out of Egypt after God poured the plagues out, let's think about the crossing of the Red Sea. All right.
Okay.
Exodus 14:19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, which has something to do with Jesus Christ, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them between the camp of the Egyptians, the army, and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to these, to the Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on the left. And, of course, we're talking about in the Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Ever wonder why it's called the Red Sea?
You know,
red is symbolic of blood.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Christ is prefigured in all this. But if there's a sea of glass, a frozen deep separating God's heaven from the rest of creation, we can't penetrate that. How are we going to break through that? Well, Jesus Christ, by his blood, paved the way, bridged the gap, became the mediator, broke through the water, and opened up a way, a door for us mm-hmm. into heaven, typified in God's wrath after it was poured out on Egypt. After the wrath, he delivers his people and they pass through the sea. It's a type of God's deliverance whereby the saints will pass through the waters of the great deep to enter into heaven.
Wow.
And so when the Lord comes back to get us in the—
I'd have never put those two together.
And it's in the Hebrew language, obviously, yeah. more clear. But it's even prefigured in Genesis chapter 1. So recall that the Hebrew word Aleph, the letter that represents God, is not in the word for heaven in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's Shemayim. But it's in every other word in the verse. Now, what's interesting is the Hebrew word for heaven is Shemayim. All right, there it is in the Hebrew language. I know people listening to this can't see it, or watching it can't even see it, but I've got the Hebrew letters up there. Okay, so it's a shin, and that's a mem, an m, and that's a yod, and that's a final mem, and don't even get into why that is, but it is.
Okay.
All right, if we take the shin away from the word heaven or sky, we get the word mayim. You can almost see it in English, Shemayim, Mayim.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's missing that S letter is those three, water. It means water. And if you take the first M away, you get Yod, Mem, Yam, Sea. All right? So all that is in the word heaven or sky. So we can see water connected to heaven without question. There's a frozen deep in heaven, right? It's not clouds. But next time, we'll dive in, and we're also going to see something interesting about this word heaven and another way you can break it down, and it means the word name, and I'm going to get into why the name is important,
okay.
to Jewish thinking today, because they don't call God Elohim or Jehovah or Yahovah or whatever. They call him Hashem,
okay,
the name.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Hashem, the name. So we'll see something about that. I think that Jeff helped me glean out of the scriptures when you combine these letters again, like taking the word contact, and mm-hmm. you got con and act and tact. Well, you can do the same thing, and you can find when you do that, it's not just random words. It, God tells a story.
See, it seems like your ministry's changing a little bit in the fact that you're really going strong Hebrew referencing and.
Well,
in the last couple of weeks, right?
Definitely in the last couple of weeks because of some things. So it's while it's fresh on my mind. I can't say I'll keep that up forever. No? I wish I could.
I was wondering if you were going to start kind of changing how you look at things, because it seems to me like over the last couple of weeks, you are looking at it from not only the scripture that we have, which is the English version or whatever, but now you're kind of even more referencing the Hebrew you have in the past. I'm not saying that this is brand new.
Well, right? I'm looking at it from a different lens, though, because anybody can look up a Strong's Concordance, which is what I've always ever done.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'll look up a word in English and see how it's spelled maybe or used in Greek or Hebrew. And usually I would do that to see where else it is used in the Bible. Because I only understand English, I'll read several verses to get a definition of the verse rather than just reading the concordance definition of a word.
Yeah.
So I've been very limited. But it's interesting, the word Elohim in Hebrew, God's name, the word mm-hmm. for God, contains the letter L, which in Hebrew is Lamed.
Mm-hmm.
And that letter has its own meaning too, and it means to study.
Hmm.
So the deeper we study, the more we learn about God.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's what God is trying to show me. He says, all right, you've been such a knucklehead for so long.
I have been a knucklehead for a long time.
A knucklehead. We could probably have a contest. But I think that God, it's interesting that our brother Jeff, who has been studying Hebrew now for a few years, though he only claims to be an amateur at it, and he doesn't have a doctorate or anything like mm-hmm. that. But I had a surgery, so I'm recuperating and I'm off work. He is not working right now because his job is, there's some things going on that he's not able to go out and do what he normally does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So isn't it funny that the timing of that worked out to where we could spend some time together? And he brought this stuff to me, and he started showing me the alphabet and the things that he'd been learning. And I'd sort of in the past would have said, I don't need to know that. Mm-hmm, I speak mm-hmm. English, and barely, And then when he showed me just a few things, and I'm talking like preschool level,
yeah,
nothing even deep. But, I mean, we're like little, you know, it's like a baby learning how to take his first steps.
Uh-huh.
And then when he showed me that, it just went, it exploded for me.
Yeah.
And it just went, holy cow. You know, that that phrase comes from the Bible, by the way. Holy cow. Was the—
Is that the golden calf?
Yes, it was. And it was an unholy thing.
Yeah.
So to wrap this up today, God sits upon many waters. We know that. His name is associated with water. Heaven is associated with water. It's symbolic of many things, but his throne is certainly above the frozen deep.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been the source of enough water to completely submerge the earth. And I believe it was the source of waters in Genesis 1-2, and I believe it was a flood. And there's every reason to believe it was a flood upon the ungodly world of the angelic rebellion before Adam was created.
Hmm.
And even in the very word heaven, it's foreshadowed.
Mm-hmm.
So the Younger Dryas was very possibly, in my opinion, the flood of Genesis 1 verse 2, which came from God out of the third heaven. And I'm saying this because I know there are some sincere Christian believers out there that have made statements like, I'm reconsidering the timing of Noah's flood to align with the Younger Dryas.
Okay.
Meaning they want to say, perhaps the flood of Noah was back in 12,900 years ago. Rather than say, wait a minute, there's another flood there, and helps if you look at the Hebrew language, but you don't even need to do that to see it. And that's what we've done in this series so far.
Okay. So they're saying that the flood of Noah would have been, instead of 4,000 plus years ago, it was actually 13,000 years ago?
Yeah, roughly saying. In other words, don't make the Bible fit science. Make the science fit the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would argue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do here on Bible Mysteries.
Hmm.
So next week, we're going to discuss why there's a third heaven at first where there was only one. I touched on it here, and we now know it's because the heavens are impure and everything else, but why he had to do that. So we're going to dive deeper into the word heaven.
Okay.
In our final segment on the Younger Dryas.
Well, good episode.
Thanks, John.
A lot of good stuff there.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
And thank you all for watching again, as always. Don't forget to look up, for our redemption draws near.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider subscribing to our premium ad-free content at BibleMysteriesPodcast.com.